everyone. Welcome to another episode of Guilds of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Folio, and I'm here this week with my pals, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And B. Steve.
Hello.
First, I'd like to clarify that Steve isn't as good as I said he was. He's he's just out of the top 200 right now.
Exactly.
So I misspoke last episode. I said I thought he was in the top 100. I was wrong.
You missed by a couple of hundred places.
No, just 100 places.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe 102 places or whatever. But, yeah. Before we let your ego get away from you there, I just want to put you back in place. I built you up, now I'm tearing you down, Steve.
I don't have an ego, so that's okay.
Well, apparently you know how to lie, though. No, I'm just kidding. All right, and Antoine's not saying anything, so we're just going to keep going, because apparently that wasn't as funny as I thought it was. So we have a pretty full show this week. Lots of stuff going on in the world of Guild Ball. I think we're going to try to see what we get through, and then if we can't make it through everything on our list, we'll just have to do an episode sooner rather than later. Sounds good, everyone?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Awesome. All right, so I guess first up we'll start with... Well, you know, it's funny, because Steve made this doc, and he categorized stuff as news, but the whole show is in the news header, so I guess it's all news.
I didn't separate. Oh.
Well, technically, it is all news, so there is no need to separate.
But I could have
you put a header like there was going to be categories, and then
really isn't. I can change it if you category. Want.
No, that's fine. Too late now, Steve. This is recorded and cannot be edited.
It could be all edited, right. But you won't bother
that's
editing.
That's exactly editing right. It. See, you understand.
Exactly.
You understood my code. It's all good. All right, so first off, let's talk a little about some new rookie players that have been announced. What do we got here?
We have for the two new minor guilds that are coming that are out and coming out soon. So the first one, we have Rookie Scourge, which is a small and just before mutated the version of Scourge. So we see him kneeling with a bag of rats and starting his feeding to transform himself and try to imitate Catalyst, Vet Catalyst.
That's a little weird. The chowing down on the rats thing is kind of nasty. I ain't gonna lie.
Yes, it is.
It's not a LT snack, right?
No, no. The concept for the model is kind of cool. The model itself, I mean, it's only in render, right? So it's tough to say. I don't mind the pose. The face looks odd. And it may just be the effect of the render. And no paint, obviously.
Well, he's making a face because...
he's trying to tear on that piece of
meat.
Yeah, no, I get that.
It's hard to chew.
But it's just like his eyebrows look huge.
Yeah.
Like the ridge for his eyebrows look kind of huge. And his nostrils. Like, his face seems oddly proportioned. But that could just be, like I said, the monochromatic effect of the render. You know, with paint and stuff, he may look entirely different. I've often found that, actually, with a lot of the
3D
Guild
Ball
models especially. Well, no, it's a lot of Guild Ball models in general. I found that paint does them a world of good. I was looking at for pictures of Avarice and Greed today. So I'm looking for some ideas for paint jobs. Paint schemes, I should say. And I have never seen a model that could vary so much in how it looked depending on the paint job. In terms of how, like, the quality of the model seems to... Or your impression of the quality of the model, I should say, changes quite drastically depending on the paint job. More so than a lot of other models.
And also, it must be one of the models represented in lots of color, because he can play for all the guilds, so people sometimes paint them in guild color.
That's right. And also, he's one of the older sculpts, too, right?
The original?
Yeah. I had a hard time finding the con-exclusive one. I only found one picture of a kind of low-level tabletop, so it wasn't really a good
Oh, so you found
barometer.
The picture of mine?
No. You have painted the con exclusive one?
Yeah, was for my mortician. And guess what? I cannot use him for those anymore. So
that's true. So he must have been orange and black.
Yeah,
the morticians are orange and black. Right? That might kind of look cool. I don't think I've ever seen him.
You'd
stop meeting with your morticians by the time you had him. Probably you'd already moved on to beating me with your hunters.
Probably.
Yeah. So I like. Mind you, I don't really like the full-fledged Scourge sculpt either. So I think I prefer this one to the original. So it's a good alt sculpt, if nothing else.
I find the pose weird for a game model.
The kneeling down with his bag of rats?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine the bag of rats is hard to carry. They're probably scratching you and biting you.
Yeah, but having that on the field, like... Looks it's like a diorama model more than a play model. That's what I mean.
Hmm.
Yeah, I can see that. Are there other cases like that from Steamforge? Probably, eh?
Probably.
Well, I mean, there's the football Avarice and Greed, right? Which also is kind of strange looking.
Yeah, the Valentine one with the butchers.
Brisket?
Brisket and the boiler.
Well, okay, it's true.
Yeah, Brisket is just standing there and...
Yeah, but...
Showing her attributes.
Yeah, it's not just showing. She's like bent over and... She has a pose like she's... It's not a play pose.
Well, depending... It could be a play pose. But
I was going to say, if you're playing it being a prostitute, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they know who their target audience is, right?
Exactly.
Just like GW, they're aiming at the 12-year-old boys. All right. Yeah, I agree. The pose is kind of strange. And is he going to be resin or metal?
I'm not sure. Because
in resin, I don't know how well he'll hold up either.
It doesn't say in the description, and I think it was announced last weekend at the British Nationals. So, and I didn't hear, I don't know if it was in the keynote or just in the stream, but I didn't see the announcement, so I don't know if it's metal or resin.
Wasn't there an announcement that the last model, metal model, has been mentioned? Which one it was, and that everything after that was going to be resin? I remember seeing something like that on Gubs.
Yeah, well, that was supposed to be, then they said about the...
Because
Faithful box?
Yeah. Probably.
And they said that was the last metal box or whatever. But I mean, I hate to sound negative, but Steamforge Games changes their mind like most people change underwear for a lot of things.
But I know Horizon they mentioned it's going to be colored resin.
Yeah, Horizon, so you mean the alt sculpt?
Yeah, the alt sculpt.
Yeah, I think everything forward is going to be resin.
So maybe the this one will be resin as well.
Hmm. Could be.
Well,
because I worry that from manipulating that model will break off at the ankle. It depends. We can't really see the whole like how the leg is made and stuff. So depending on how it's made, it'll be better. But
why would it break at the ankle? I'm pretty sure the leg is attached to the bag of rat.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know. If it's attached to the bag of rats, then it'll be fine because it'll have enough of a base.
Because
mm-hmm. That's the only problem with the resin models. It's not the weight of the model that makes it snap, right? It's the, when you go to pick it up, the pressure you apply to it.
Yeah.
You know. Eventually weakens those small points and breaks them off.
And we don't see it, but he's probably kneeling, so he probably has a second point. Like, his other knee might be on the ground.
Yeah. But if it was just the two legs without the bag there to support it, I'd still be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Arena Rex, right? It depends on how brittle the resin is, but I don't even know what the resin is like.
Well,
the resin tends to vary.
Filet has super tiny legs. And... She's been bending, but not breaking. So, for a big guy like Scourge, I wouldn't have a problem with using resin, I think.
I mean, looking at the resin on the limited edition mist I have here, thanks again, Antoine, his cloak is quite thin and is pretty flexible, so if it's a resin like that, they'll probably be okay. All right, let's move along, otherwise...
Next model we have, as it's for the Falconers, and it's Rookie Icarus. So
Now this I quite like. Yeah. I really like their take on him.
He's not flying this time, and he's standing on the floor, and with a first prototype of his flying armature.
Yeah, and I really like him. I personally thought the flying version of him looked a little cheesy and bizarre. I really like this version. I'm definitely going to buy this to supplement my Falconers. I think this is a much better looking model. And he's available now, I just realized.
Yeah.
He's not pre-order, he's actually available. Well, I guess the Falconers are already supposed to be out, right? They just got pushed back to next week.
Yeah, because they got lost on the boat.
The slow boat from China. But I like the details. I like the clothing. And I like the fact that Steam Forge has moved away from the crazy random buckles and bobs everywhere. Like, I find they've toned that down quite a bit since their first release. Maybe it's just me.
I think it depends on guilds.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, like, my fish have straps and weird things all over the place. And so do a lot of the other original guilds. And the new releases seem less bad for that. Though I guess the rat catcher is covered in rats all over the place. It's still all kinds of tiny details.
Yeah, like Pelage, she has a cloak of rats.
Yeah, so maybe it's just depending on the model. Oh, I just realized he's holding a little pipe, too. No, I really like this. I think he's going to be awesome to paint. I'm quite looking forward to getting him. I'm really enjoying the alt sculpt offerings from Steamforged. Mind you, at this rate, half my Falconers team will be alt sculpts. Well, I have alt Matagi.
Yeah.
I have alt... Oh, it's not Minerva. What's her name?
Yeah, Minerva.
And then...
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman, exactly. And alt Icarus.
And also you have alt Vet Urn and...
And alt...
Ygritte, if you want.
Ygritte. Yeah, and they're right here. I'm holding them in my hand. They are gorgeous. If oddly scaled compared to the original hunters.
Well, only Arn is oddly scared.
Scaled. Well, he scaled properly. He cut some weight.
And some height as well.
He's no longer competing for world's strongest man.
Well, he's smaller.
He's just like a normal human being now, yeah.
And he's shorter as well because the other one, the way he's placed the legs are more...
I swear to God, that Vet Hearn model, you could get four of these models in that volume of model. I'm just looking at him. I mean, he's still quite big.
Yeah, but he's small comparison to the other one.
Like, if I put him next to Benediction, he's still bigger than Benediction. But yes, he's a lot smaller than... So he's still like a man mountain, but he's a lot smaller than the original Vet Hearn. But the hunter scale was all over the place. It was crazy. It didn't make any sense. They look like they're for another game.
They were bigger.
They're really nice models. Don't get me wrong. I really love the hunter look.
But they're bigger than the other.
But they're significantly bigger than every other faction. At least until we see the resculpts. Because I'm curious to see the resin resculpts on them. We'll have to see what they actually turn out, if they're resculpts or not. I'm making reference to something that Steve showed me earlier today where someone was posting pictures of resin scalpel. And
they're not like the 3D render that was shown for the pre-orders.
Yeah. In fact, it's just looks like a cast of the original, like almost, using the original mold. Yeah.
She's practically the same.
So that's quite unfortunate. Because the render had a very dynamic pose, really cool looking, kind of menacing. She looks like she's...
She was really
sauntering up to you. Yeah, like just
coming. She had the. I found that the 3D render. She had the kind of look like the chick in Die Hard 3. That goes when they go into the bank and they're drilling and everything, and she comes in with a couple of knives and she cut through the security guard.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know?
Could be.
And
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That song is playing in the background. Mm-hmm. So she reminded me of like that pose, like when she comes in and start to slash everybody. So maybe part of maybe. The inspiration.
So anyway, back on track. Ikaros is coming. He looks really cool. Bye bye bye.
That's your motto, Bo.
Well, actually, today it's been sell, sell, sell. I've been selling some old bottles. Gotta pay for Nova somehow. All right. Now, the big news this weekend. The next minor guild's been announced.
Yeah.
And I was sad to say I'm kind of underwhelmed. I don't know how anyone else feels about it.
I'm not too sure.
I was super underwhelmed, and that's as a Butchers player, when I first saw them and when I saw the description of their playstyle. Looking at the new batch of Skulls, we've seen the rest of the guild. They went up a bit, in my opinion, but still.
I like some of the models, yeah.
We
should just mention that it's the Cook's Guild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The minor guild for the Butchers. And the first three models that have been previewed were the Captain, Wellington, and Spice and Roast. Spice being a girl with kind of a double fork or double trident.
Yeah.
And Roast being a big guy with two kind of vegetable choppers.
Yeah.
Those two, I really don't like. But well, after that, we saw a preview of the rest. Like, there's a weasel-like mascot. Not too sure what exact animal it is.
Oh, it's a weasel. And
Salt's got competition.
He's called Pepper.
I've seen that mentioned, but nobody confirmed it.
Yeah, that's what it... Well
it's gonna be I saw a wish listing, but I didn't see anything, okay. Any confirmation.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But you have to have an ability called, like, Hated Creature or something. You gotta, like...
Yeah, there's a chick with a bunch of cinnamon rolls, and a
pastry girl, probably.
Yeah,
with a paddle and everything. It's a guy with the frying pan. I thought it was another girl with the frying pan.
Maybe.
What are you saying, Steve? Only girls can have frying pans?
No, but
get with the times, Steve.
I know. I'm a modern man. I cook too. I just hope, like, the captain, his name is Wellington, but I think it was mentioned that it's a bit of Gordon Ramsay. He needs to have a character play. It's called It's Raw.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of jokes about that online. Raw or Idiot Sandwich, stuff like that. Yeah.
There's so much space for character play.
Yeah, well, Gordon Ramsay's given us a lot of material over the years.
Exactly.
So, aside from the sculpts, like the playstyle.
Playstyle is supposed to be takeout oriented. They're going to be really high damage and more glass cannon than Butchers, which are already pretty glass cannon.
I was going to say, do we really need more glass cannon than that? Like, they're just going to explode. There'll be torpedoes, right? They'll just run in, kill something, and then explode in the counterattack.
Yeah, that's what I think. And they have previewed their guild rule, which is when they do attack, the target model suffers -1 defense.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a good rule, but...
Is it...
It's not inspiring.
Yeah, because it's -1 defense against attacks from that model, right?
Yeah.
Or any model with that rule. It's not like an effect that stays on them, because that could be more interesting.
It's just during the attack.
Yeah. Because then that could be interesting when you're playing your crossovers in the Butchers, right?
Maybe there's going to be ability for that as well.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Like stagger or something like that.
Yeah. Speaking of crossover models, they have announced which of the Butchers will play for them. Those are Tenderizer and Shank. The two alt models have the same stupid hats as Spice and Roast.
Oh, the chef hats?
Yeah. Like, I don't mind one, but having four models with that.
Well, it's a good thing they're going to be resin, so it's going to be easier to resculpt.
To cut them off and then resculpt the top of their heads?
Yeah.
Those are going to be resin, and the other one are going to be plastic, so PVC it chops easily.
Yeah, you're putting a lot of effort into this, Steve.
No, I'm not. Antoine will.
No, because I don't like them, so I won't get them because I like the original ones. And as I'm not really interested in the Miner Guild, why would I get the limited models for the other ones? And sadly, the two models that will play for Butchers are the two I don't like in the guild, Spice and Roast.
We know it's going to be those two?
No, but every time Steamforge has previewed players, the first two
are the crossovers.
Were the crossovers.
Okay.
It's been like that for the four previous guilds.
Oh, okay.
So, well, maybe they changed it this time.
Yeah, it has not been confirmed, but that's what I guess it's going to be.
But it's confirmed, yeah. It's not confirmed, but, you know, we know.
But maybe they'll listen to this podcast and they're going to change it just because you were up to them, Antoine.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no way that's happening. So.
Wait, people listen to our podcast? What?
Yeah. Probably.
There's a couple.
Like,
I listen to it when I'm editing. No, that's not true. We know I don't edit. No. So. I will say, on the topic of the models, I was a little disappointed as well. I mean, yes, they look like cooks and bakers and stuff, which I guess is the point, because that's the theme. But the theme does nothing for me. The playstyle doesn't bother me because I don't have butchers, right? So if I wanted a good BD team, and I didn't want to invest a lot of money, the Miner Guild probably fits that bill.
Yeah, probably.
My least favorite from the... Well, no, I don't like him at all. It's Rose. He looks too cartoony.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Like, really short legs, and everything looks like he's really out of a kid's cartoon. Like,
but what are you going to get short people?
Same thing with Spice.
No, not...
Her legs proportion are so strange. Exactly. Her legs are... She took the length of leg that's missing on Roast, and it was added on Spice.
Probably. Because she's really long-legged, and the other one is too short-legged. So.
Well, now I'm going to have to go look. Of course, now I got to find the
They're in the Guild Ball Montreal group. So they're quite easy to find.
Okay. I was on my way to Gubs.
Well, it's going to be faster.
There's
to
more posts on Gubs.
There's less posts.
No, it's like the second post on Gubs. Relax. it's not that far down. Oh, yeah. He's super, super top heavy.
And the other thing on Rose, if you see on the 3D render compared to the artwork, is, I have a blank for,
Say it in French.
C'est poignet.
Wrist.
His hands, his fists?
Wrists. Yeah, on the wrist.
Yeah.
Can you see how thick those bands are compared to, like, the artwork?
Well, the final models, they're thick, right?
Yeah, on the 3D render, it's so thick. I mean, and when you get the final model, it's going to be kind of weird. Oh.
Well, I'm actually looking at the final model, Steve.
Well, it's not a final model. You found there's a picture of the final model?
Yeah, on Gubs. That's what I'm looking at. Looking at the actual models.
Okay.
It's giant thick wristbands that are the size of his biceps. And his fists are bigger than his head. He is super, super cartoony.
Yeah.
His proportions are crazy cartoony. No one else is really like that.
Well,
maybe the woman with the frying pan, but...
No, spice? The frying pan is not too bad. But yeah, spice is the one with the trident, which with super long leg.
Oh yeah, she's very leggy.
And the weapon looks stupid. So yeah, yeah.
Why don't you cook with a giant trident?
Well, if it was inverted, it wouldn't make sense as a weapon. But yeah, at least because it would look like a roast bar.
Roasting,
a roasting pole.
Oh, like a rotisserie bar.
Yeah, I think it's that. But they switched the side of the forks.
Yeah, they turn around the forks.
Yeah, but
okay.
Looks like a wannabe Aquaman.
Yeah, is it me or a lot of these models are on 40s?
You think?
Huh? Well, the big guy, you think that's a 40 or a 50?
Maybe the big guy is on a 50, and think maybe...
The captain's on a 32, the mascot's on a 32.
30.
Yeah, 30, sorry.
No, I think they're all wrong 30, game. No?
I don't know. Looking at the picture, it could be just perspective.
Yeah, I think it's perspective as only Rose is on 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if he's on a 40, not a 50, then yeah, makes sense.
There's other pictures, and yeah, Spice is on the 30.
And what's their mascot? Is he a little like...
Kind of a weasel.
It's a weasel.
Oh, that's the weasel. What's he holding? It's odd because he's standing up and facing the camera.
Yeah.
So it looks really weird.
I don't know what. Probably a cooking pot or something like that.
Yeah. Strange. Very strange.
It's clear on the artwork, but.
Yeah, I mean, I can't comment on the quality of the resins they're showing here. They look good. I think they look good. I just don't like the aesthetic of most of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have to see how they play. Some people may very, very much like them.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Let's see now. All right. So we've flogged that horse instead. So they've also been talking about season 4. Yeah. So a lot of changes have been previewed, and I think so far they're all good changes.
So far, so good. Almost.
They've released two blog posts, right, with some of the changes. Let's go over the first blog post. What are some of the things they talked about there? So, they've talked about how they're rewording all the abilities on the cards to clean up the language.
Yeah, they've been doing that every edition. So,
yeah, they mentioned they wanted to get further away from like gamer English and go to real English, which I think could be good. There's a lot of odd wordings on their cards, I find. So if they're going to clean that up, more power to them.
Yeah, the one we saw was for close control. Like before, the word tackle was in bold, and now it's just a normal season, normal sentence, like with no word in bold.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like a keyword.
Yeah, exactly.
But for no reason, because they never implemented whatever they're going to do with that. And this is actually the next thing we're going to talk about. Something that really bothered me was how you measure AoEs and ball placement.
Oh, this
one. That's always driven me nuts.
This one is the best one, I think.
Because you're no longer going to measure to the center of the AoE or the center of the ball. You're going to measure
within.
So long as part of the thing is touching your measurement, you're good.
Exactly. And same for the ball.
So, which simply what's going to happen is you're going to put your widget down. And you're going to place your ball next to it. And that's
it. It's going to be faster. Yeah.
No more overing widget over and trying to guess where the center is and stuff like
especially
that.
Especially for AoEs.
It should have been like that since day one.
Yeah.
Why would you ever measure to the center? And AoE placement. AoE placement's the same problem, right? You've got a ring or a neoprene circle and you're trying to figure out where the center is to put down. It's dumb. There's another way to put it. It's just dumb. So I'm glad they're fixing that. And here's what I don't quite understand, because apparently it was a big point of contention. but I never really thought of it much. That's the tap in passes and shots.
Now, well, tap in passes, I think, are cool. Before we move to that, I just want to mention, as they have changed for the OEs where you place it, they have also shortened range of
the ranges.
They have said all, or they are intending most to of them. All of them getting shorter by 2 inches, which means in real life, in game term,
you're losing half an inch only.
So we'll see if really everything goes down. Maybe they will tweak some range on place to maybe only go down one for some of the shorter ones. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, you're losing half an inch on a 3-inch AoE. Yeah, are there any 4-inch AoEs in the game? Or is everything 3-inch?
No, but some of the shorter plays. Like,
shorter range plays.
Most of them had 8 inches, but like Burnish, it was 6 inches for his AoE.
So we'll see if all of those are really straight 2 inches drop, or it might be...
Some people may stay the same, right? Yeah. If they decide that their AoE was too short range.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe drop to an odd number.
Yeah, an incremental number. Yeah.
We'll see.
An incremental reduction.
So that's it. That's what I wanted to mention.
Yeah, no, I'd forgotten that. That's important. So tap-in passes. That's always cool, because I can miss anything with my fish. Like, there's always a 50-50 chance I miss every pass. Doesn't matter how many dice I'm rolling. Well, I like the idea of this.
It's to tie in, because before... before now, if you're closer to the goal within 4 inches, it's easier to score because you're closer. So why wouldn't the pass be easier if you're passing on a shorter distance?
Yeah, no, that's logical. Mm-hmm. That's logical. When did tap-ins get introduced? Was that
third edition?
Second?
It was in a card at season 2. And in season 3, it became a base rule.
The big change first is that passes will have tap into, but the other change is that it's no longer a straight 4 inches; it's half of the kick of the model.
The kick distance.
Yeah. So if you're trying to shoot or pass at below half your max range, now you're going to be in tap in range.
What I thought was interesting was they actually specifically mentioned salt when they were describing this change. And I didn't realize, because, you know, let's face it, I don't play in a big meta, right? I play in a basement group, but I don't really branch out from that. But I didn't realize that salt was considered egregious like that.
Well, salt can score easily, and it's going to change a lot, because lots of mascot... Well, lots. You could all do mascot... Two.
Yeah.
They have 4-inch kicks. So when you wanted to score, you could score with the mascot, and it was always in tap in. But now mascot are going to be in tap in only 2 inches to score. So it's going to make it harder for like salt. But not only salt. I scored a couple of goals with Fahad as well. Because of the linked activation with Zarola, so it gives you a crazy long threat range. And now it's going to be, most of the time, I won't be able to get within 2 inches of the goal, so it's going to be on fours instead of 3.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really pushing goal threat with salt anyway. I can never really use them like that. I usually have them tackle the ball and try to pass it off to someone. But
most of the time you use tentacle.
No, I was on a big salt kick for a while. I just started using tentacles again. There was like a 4 or 5 month period where I was just using salt.
Tentacle is a longer kick, so.
And he's got more reach.
Yeah.
And close control. And tag along. And blind. I think I'm out of stuff. Oh, and he's 4-1?
I don't remember by heart.
He's either 3-1 or 4-1. In any case, he's damn good for a mascot.
So it's going to be interesting to see if the tap-in for passes going to make people try to pass more and do a more balling ball game instead of a beating game.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be that bit of a change, but it will help beating bitter game because you were, I like for my butchers, I was already using the passes to dodge further into the melee or dodge out of an engagement. So I was already trying to do it. It's just going to be easier. Like trying to dodge pass to a boar to get him further up the field while the opponent wasn't not expecting that 4 inches dodge with the teamwork action. And now he's reaching one of the already activated guy and he's going to die.
They pull off a give and go, I think it's called, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be easier
for you now.
Yeah.
That is true. Yay.
And it's going to be easier to generate momentum when you receive the ball because you can do all those short passes in between your player to generate that momentum on trees instead of four.
Yep. Well, it's going to be easier, but you're going to need to be closer. Like the first one after you retrieve the ball usually was at almost as max range. So that's one's not going to be helped. But after that, between your players, maybe.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. It will probably definitely see more ball like play, which is cool.
Yep,
because it
it's a ball
soccer game where no one plays the ball. But it's funny, Steve. Like I play, like I said, I don't play a lot of different people, but you don't really see a lot of passing, like people moving the ball around to generate momentum. You see passing with a purpose, trying to set up a goal or whatever.
Except on first turn.
Yeah. Well, on first turn, I'm usually trying to score.
Well, depending on which on the team. you play fish, so you try to score. But like, if I play my morticians, I'm not trying to score on first turn. I'm trying to score on second turn. So first turn is more of setup and generating all that momentum for short passes. It's going
to... to try to win that second turn, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And speaking of momentum, so we're going to see momentum for the kicking team.
Segway.
I know. I slipped that right in there.
Exactly. Sneaky.
So, So that's going to be a huge change. Momentum for kicking team on turn one.
Yeah. Because all the other turn when you went second, you got a momentum. And now you'll get one as well on the first turn of the game. So it's going to be interesting because player like Mist or lots of player, well, you mentioned fish. We've checked the other day and all of the fish, they don't have a momentous tackle.
Except for Angel.
And that's it.
There was someone else. No, I found one more. Maybe it was Tentacles.
Wasn't it Corsair or something like that?
Oh, it might have been Corsair. Yeah.
Okay, most of them don't have a momentous tackle.
Yeah.
So if you start the game kicking and you have a momentum, it's going to make that first turn kick and retrieve goal even easier because you don't have to bother about generating that momentum.
Right. I can just go for that non-momentous tackle on one or two.
Exactly.
And run away with the ball.
It's going to be... it's going to change the dynamic a lot, I think. And also, like, if you kick and you play against Engineer and he just use dead ball to knock you down, well, then you have the momentum to stand up and do something. You don't have to, like, wait last because you're kicking and you're struggling to get momentum and then you need to get your player up, so...
Yeah, maybe I won't have that brutal first turn like I do when I play you. Your blacksmith's so hard to generate momentum off of. Too much armor. Cancel everything.
That's why you need the cook to reduce the death and get even more dice because they're low defense but high armor.
Yeah, the cook will help the fish so much.
Yeah, exactly. and they're going to be a ball playing team, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Have you been paying attention, Steve?
I know.
Okay.
No, I said you need to buy the cooks to play against my blacksmith. That's what I was suggesting.
Well, I'm already buying. I'm going to have...
Falconeers are coming in?
Yeah, so I've got the fish. I've got the... I'll have the full mortician lineup next week. I have the almost the full Union lineup. I'm missing one model for Union. I'll have the whole Sulthesian churchy sub-guild. I'll have...
Falconers.
Yeah, the whole Falconers. And then I also have kickoff, right? Which means I have I have half of the brewers and half of the masons. I don't need cooks.
Yeah, I don't usually count kickoff when I count my five
missions. Because everybody has a kickoff.
That's fine. Okay, so I won't count kickoff. That's fine. But still, all that to say, and I've got like four teams, right? I don't need more.
And you're probably getting navigators.
Nav.
Oh, yes, I'll get navigators. That's true. So, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or maybe I won't pick up navs. I don't know. We'll have to see. There's an alt sculpt for Horizon.
So you would just need to wait for an alt sculpt for Fathom, and you'll have all your available models for your fishing.
Or try to win one in the release event or whatever, if they're going to be in the release box.
No, the...
Oh, no, the release box is the alt fish sculpts. Yeah, sorry.
So Angel and Siren.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking in reverse. All right. So, yeah. I don't need to buy... All to say, I don't need to buy the Cook's Guild.
Do you have a beater team? A real beater team?
Well, I think my Union can be a beater team. A Rage 2 lineup, I think, can definitely be a beater team. Well, even a Blackheart lineup under Rage with Rage 1 on it and stuff, you can still do... I mean, I'm not Vet Cinder Beater running in doing momentous 14 damage or whatever the heck Steve does. But, you know, with proper setup, I could probably...
It's only momentous 7, Paul.
Well, except if you charge.
It's 2 and then more you get damage. Your
3 more, right? And that's assuming you don't wrap.
Well, I only wrap when you were singled out, so that doesn't count, really.
Depending on how many, how many other models you have in melee with your target and stuff. Anyway, all that to say, Vet Cinder is BS. I think the Union lineup can be fairly effective as a beater team.
Yeah,
that's why the last one you shared was a scoring team with Corsair.
I said Union, didn't I?
Corsair, with Rage. You take the beater captain and you try to do a scoring team with it.
What do you mean?
No, it wasn't a scoring team.
Okay.
Why was it a scoring team? Because I had Decimate and Gutter in it? Because they can kind of kick the ball? I don't really call that a scoring team.
Okay.
Now I'm all confused. Who was in that lineup, Steve, that I shared? It was...
I'm trying to find it.
It was Vet Rage. Was it Avarice and Greed? Benediction, Gutter, Decimate... and Strongbox?
Yeah, Vet Rage, Strongbox, Avarice and Greed, Decimate, Benediction, Gutter.
I don't really call that a ball playing team.
I misremember.
No, I did.
And you could replace Benediction with Vet Fangtooth when he's out until season 4.
Or actually, I was looking at Hemlock for the range damage. Because she does 2 damage on her AoEs. It's pretty decent. And then, 2 damage, condition. She clears conditions for the rest of the people. So I don't have to spend momentum clearing conditions.
Yeah, but with Vet Rage, you'll see you'll have tons of momentum to clear all sort of condition.
People tend to like her, though. From what I was reading, they like her with Vet Rage for the turn 1 blind.
Oh.
I don't know. It could be interesting. I'm poking around looking at stuff. I have the models, right? So I might as well.
I know why I thought you wanted to do a footballing team. You did, obviously... a footballing team with a winky face. And I was really skimming, and I missed the winky face, and that's what I remembered.
Oh. Yes.
I knew there was something there, but...
I mean, I have the Sulthesians, right? The church lineup. That's definitely a footballing team. So what happened there? Spigot, Fangtooth, Brisket, Mist. Who else was in the, and Benediction?
Probably.
With Pride. Yeah, so that's definitely footballing. Anyway, we are totally way off track now. Enough making fun of me and my choices for players. Let's look at the second part of the Season 4 release so far, the second preview. So for that, we have a couple changes, mostly in wording, just to make things clear, I think.
Like, no, it's the ruling as well, because the obstruction one is ruling, because before... Yeah, that's true.
But I was thinking more the first line, Steve. We have the no more gaining influence, or the allocated influence.
Right.
So it just makes things clearer.
Because now there's a difference between gaining and allocating. Because when you allocate, you cannot go over a maximum. But when you gain, you can go over your maximum of influence.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't know for sure, but I can only assume, like we were talking about Grace is the great example of this, that they're going to increase her maximum influence capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Not what she brings to the team, but what her maximum spend is.
Yeah.
To basically make it the same as what it is now, but with clearer wording that's uniform for the rest, for everyone.
There's also Honor, who's our legendary. Everybody within the Pulse could gain one influence. So I don't know how this is going to change, if it's going to be allocate and still be one influence. And also with our superior strategy was you gain one influence, and you get another activation.
I have not played the snake in a while, but I think he already lost the gain for an allocation on Bag of Cover.
Tapper was changed to allocate.
Yeah, that was already done too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just mostly, you know, uniform. Making the game uniform, right, across all the models and all the abilities. What else we got? Oh, yeah, no more standing on obstructions, which I didn't even realize was a thing.
Because
I've never tried to stand on an obstruction.
Well, there's a couple of obstruction that were flat enough so a model could stand on it.
Yeah, but even if they could, I never tried to place a model on it. I just naturally assumed, like every other game in the universe, that you can't stand on it,
and
right?
And also, it's... Most of the time, you don't want to do it, because when you're on it, you cannot charge or sprint. So it blocks your... It prevents your movement during the activation you get on it and when you get out. So,
and also, you cannot dodge on it if you cannot complete the dodge or completely clearing the obstacle with your base.
Yeah, so it was really, really not something you would like to do. Most often. However, I sculpted a terrain piece to be able to do it, and now the terrain piece still works, but it's more flat for no reason now.
But it still looks fine, so don't worry about it.
We'll do a table with four or five of them for the last couple of months of season
exactly.
Three.
Everyone standing on terrain
exactly.
Everywhere.
Like we're not going to start playing with those rules now.
All right. What else did they sneak preview? No more zero cost plays to better differentiate character plays and traits. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and in the blog they give an example of one play and one trait that do about the same thing, but one is a play, the other is a trait, and that's just misleading.
Yeah, it's just confusing at that point for no reason.
Yeah. So they also give another example of a zero cost play. That's going to become a one cost play. I don't know if the effect will change to make the big difference there. If I remember correctly, it's on armor, but his influence will also go up
to offset it?
To offset it, yeah.
So are we going to see basically larger... Do you think we're going to see larger influence pools on most teams? Most teams right now have 12 or 13, I would say.
I'm curious.
I don't think so. Because most of the players who had that were already lower on influence, so it will just standardize them.
I'm curious because there's two of the blacksmith player, Furnace and Burnish, who have now zero influence character play. So for them, I'm curious to see, because the blacksmith are locked at 12 influence, regardless of your lineup.
Yeah. Instead of casting something, they might just switch to traits, because they have active traits. We've seen one of the icon, like with a circle on it, I think on Horizon.
Yeah.
So I don't think all zero cast will become one. Some might just switch from plays to traits. Some might switch to cast something and adjust the influence markers. We'll see what they're rebalancing.
Yeah, those two are AoEs as well, so probably they'll switch to one cost or something like that. Or they decide that we can now have a trait that are AoEs, or they replace with a pulse or something like that.
Yeah, they'll just reward it somehow to make it fit in the new guidelines.
And the last previewed change to Season 4 that we got is a change to the organized play document. And the roster size, which was 10, is now...
Rooster.
We talked about roster is before, pink. Right?
Yeah. So, the roster is 10 now to 12 in Season 4.
I'm happy to say my Guild Ball model tray is compatible with Season 4.
Yeah. It's like
you... Order yours now. Yeah.
You designed it on purpose.
Exactly. In consequence, my sneak preview is new.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. You're
foreseen.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't by accident at all. And it wasn't the most I could possibly fit on the tray.
Not at all.
It was designed around that. Yeah, it was intent. Clear intent. If you believe that, I have a nice piece of land I want to sell you. Yeah, but it's interesting. So now you're going to basically have...
No choice at all almost, to make. Well,
no, you're still making choices. It just happens while you're building your team for the game, right?
Yeah, the model you're bringing to an event.
One of the things I don't like in that change is the big difference it makes between major and minor guilds.
Yeah, because minor guilds only have an 8-man roster.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And that won't change.
No. And now the other have four more players to choose from.
Yeah.
But you do get plus one when you start and one more card.
Yeah, but you already received that. And have we seen Ratcatchers dominate the field?
Nah.
Yeah, I think they're kind of low man on the totem pole, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, they're not low. They're middle of the pack.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
We don't usually see... Like, we see them in the rankings, but we don't see them winning events.
For me, what I liked about the 10-man, it's because Guild Ball doesn't have point costs. So...
It was your list building, yeah.
Exactly. It was the list building aspect, because most of the guild now have 13 models plus 2 if you have a minor guild, so that's 15. So you had to leave 5 at your home before going to an event. Now it's only 3, so...
Okay, but I just want to point out that a month and a half ago, before your minor guild came out, you only had to leave 3 behind anyway.
Yeah, but you had a bunch of union choice.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You win this round, Antoine.
It's not like I try to win or whatever. But, like, I don't mind it going to 12. That means the decision is more when you do your lineup during the...
It means that if you buy your major... It just means if you buy your major guild and you get conveniently 2 bucks of 6 model, you can play with all those 12 models and you don't have to leave some at home.
And people are funny because they're talking about how it's like a scam to sell models. Like, you're not selling any more models. You're still selling them in boxes of 6,
you
right?
You're not selling more. I mean, you're selling the same amount. It won't change anything on sales. It's just change on their perception of like you buy models and you don't use them, I think.
Yeah, you let people use their model.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we've learned, history has shown us that that plan does not work. I mean, look at GW. Oh, wait. Never mind. Players like using the models they bought. That's why they bought them, right? So I don't really have a problem with increasing the roster. I do understand your point, Steve, that it seems to take away a little bit of the strategic aspect from organized play because you have less choices to make. So I understand that.
Yeah.
The other thing is...
You still have only six players on the pitch, so you still have going to make some choices depending on who you're facing. But it just means that prior going to the event, it's easier, like, you have less choices to make, like, depending on your meta and everything, because you're bringing more players, so you're filling more gaps, and you can adapt more between each game.
There's less dojo pre-game. It go to your model selection during the pre-selection during the game. But the game having less dojo is already something that's been complained about Guild Ball, so that won't change. It's only getting worse. So,
well, as they simplify players, right?
Yeah. Well, simplify players and add more to your lineup, so there's less to talk about. Like, your decision will be made on play.
And it doesn't have the breadth of models, right, that War Machine does, for example? Because when you think dojo, I always think War Machine, because... I guess Malifaux, too.
Is used there. But Malifaux have some of the same problem, because depending on the type of event, you can bring your whole collection.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or you can bring your really big list and then just cut down depending on your scenario. Depending on the type of event.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The dojoing is going to be less of an issue because you'll be able to bring everyone. I still think there's a fair amount of dojoing to do. But once you've determined your optimal lineup...
There's three models. Most of the time, you'll need to leave home. So
I don't mean that. I mean, like, when you're designing your list, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You make your optimal lineup for what you want to accomplish with whatever you want to, you know. If I want to play a footballing fish team, there's really only a couple choices I need to make, right? And once I've made those choices, that lineup probably won't change the rest of the day. I may substitute one model depending on the match, but that's really it. So I don't think that's really going to change. I don't think you're ever left with a super hard choice when it comes to what models to bring. At least not in the teams I've played around with.
Mm.
You know, maybe now we'll see, for example, Fish again, if with Vetsakana coming. You know, Vetsakana versus regular Sakana, which model do you bring? I can kind of see that being a hard choice.
It's okay, you just leave Angel.
I can't leave my girl behind, Steve. Best scorer on my team. You know, it's... I don't know. I think once you people pick a lineup, they tend to stay with it with very, very few changes.
Mm-hmm. I'm playing Devil's Advocate. I've been playing the same six Butchers for almost 3 years. So,
yeah, that's why none of us want to go anywhere near you when you're playing them. You are too good with those.
I'm not a dojo person. I'm not a list building person. So,
yeah, I think
won't affect me.
I think also the fact that a lot of the Guild Ball players are War Machine players or ex-War Machine players, they come from a lot of the first players, like the old guard of Guild Ball players came from War Machine. So they come from a dojo background, right? The list building is half of War Machine. Most people spend more time building lists in War Room than actually playing the game, right? So I think if you're coming from that and you're looking for that, Guild Ball is tough unless you're going to buy a dozen teams and then you've got some variety to play around with. But outside of that, you're just not going to have that same experience.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've digressed a bit. And let's look at this. I think this might be a cast because that's been an hour-ish of us blah, blah, blahing. Some of it was even useful for me. That's new.
I think before we close, we could answer to a listener question.
Sure.
Steve, I think you got that question, so I'll let you read it. We've had it for a while, so I think so. Yeah.
So the question was from Yannick Johnson, and he was asking if you are using the player as the position listed on the back of their card. And like example, goalkeeper, striker, winger, and defensive midfielder and stuff like that.
I will say that if I am, it's totally by accident because I don't pay attention to those positions.
I have the exact same answer.
You know, with the exception of people like, let's say, Pride with my Saltesians, I mean, where it's obvious he's the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. No one else really ends up, you know, they do whatever I need them to do.
Well, like, for me, I've tried a bit of game with Skulk. And he's supposed to be a goalkeeper, but I find him more useful in the middle of the scrum.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't realize he was the goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's goalkeeper.
Especially against me, right, with all my dodging all over the place?
Exactly, so he's more useful in front than disturbing and bothering people.
Yes, he's very good at that. I can attest to that.
But I think, like, striker, except Vitriol, Prior, or Errata, most people, she's now used as a striker, but before she could be used as a beater because she generated momentum on damage, and she was doing more damage in the shadows in when you were in an obstacle. So that was an exception, but now it's not. So she's back to her striker goal.
Yeah, I think strikers are mainly used as strikers just because they are so focused, and some of the goalkeepers like compound. Tenderizer compound, because they don't really have another plan to do. However, the rest of the models, like midfielders, wingers, stuff like that, that's really
aesthetic.
Yeah
it's just fluff on the card, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I see a second question. Do we want to do that this week, or want to save it for next show?
We might as well save it. Don't burn them all.
There you go. All right. So I guess that's a cast, guys. As always, thank you for being here. And thank you for making me look good.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Well, technically, I don't think you have to thank me for having us. It's a group cast.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're kind of the host, so you're having us with you on the cast.
Sure.
So that's why we're thanking you.
Yeah.
I prefer to think of myself as interpreter.
Yeah, I was going to say something like that.
And Antoine is the moderator.
That's right. All right, guys. Well, I will see you next week.
Take care, Paul.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PR Filio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Broken Prism Reviews, a YouTube channel bringing you game reviews in three parts, unboxing, express gameplay, and a quick rundown of what makes the game stand out. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.